Krishna Book, Canto 13, Dwaraka, Chapter 85, Scene 1. Vasudev confesses to Krishna and Balaram. It is a Vedic custom that the junior members of the family should offer respects to the elderly persons every morning. The children or disciples especially should offer their respects to the parents or the spiritual master in the morning. In pursuance of this Vedic principle, Lord Krishna and Balaram used to offer their obeisances to their father Vasudeva along with his wives. One day, after having returned from the sacrificial performances at Kurukshetra, when Lord Krishna and Balaram went to offer their respects to Vasudev, Vasudev took the opportunity of appreciating the exalted position of his two sons. Vasudev had the opportunity to understand the position of Krishna and Balaram from the great sages who had assembled in the arena of the sacrifice. Vasudev not only heard from the sages, but on many occasions, Vasudev actually experienced that Krishna and Balaram were not ordinary human beings, but instead were very extraordinary. And thus, Vasudev believed the words of the sages that his sons, Krishna and Balaram, were the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. With firm faith in his two sons, Vasudev addressed them, "My dear Krishna, you are the Sachid Ananda Vigraha, Supreme Personality of Godhead. And my dear Balaram, you are Sankarshan, the master of all mystic powers. Now I have understood that you are both eternal. Both of you are transcendental to this material manifestation and to its cause, the Supreme Person, Mahavishnu. You are the original controller of all. You are the rest of this cosmic manifestation. You are its creator, and you are also its creative ingredients. You are the master of this cosmic manifestation, and actually, this manifestation is created for your pastimes only. The different material phases, from the beginning to the end of the cosmos, manifest under different time formulas, are also yourself, because you are both the cause and effect of this manifestation. The two features of this material world, known as the predominator and the predominated, are also you. And you are the supreme transcendental controller who stands above them. Therefore, you are beyond the perception of our senses. You are the supreme soul, unborn and unchanging. You are not affected by the six kinds of transformations which occur in the material body. The wonderful varieties of this material world are also created by you, and you have entered as the Supersoul into each living entity and even into the atom. You are the maintainer of everything. The vital force, which is acting as the life principle in everything, and the creative force derived from it, are not acting independently, but are dependent upon you, the Supreme Person behind these forces. Without your will, they cannot act. Material energy has no cognizance, and thus it cannot act independently without being agitated by you. Because the material nature is dependent upon you, the living entities can only attempt to act. But without your sanction and your will, they cannot perform anything or achieve the result they desire. The original energy is only an emanation from you. My dear Krishna and Balaram, the shining of the moon, the heat of fire, the rays of the sun, the glittering of the stars, and the electric lightning, which is manifested as very powerful, as well as the gravity of the mountains, the energy of the earth, and the quality of its flavor, all of these are different manifestations of you. The pure taste of water and the vital force which maintains all life are also features of your lordship. The water and its taste are also you yourself. My dear Krishna and Balaram, although the forces of the senses, the mental power of thinking, willing, and feeling, and the strength, movement, and growth of the body appear to be performed by different movements of the airs within the body, but they are all ultimately manifestations of your energy. The vast expanse of outer space rests in yourself. The vibration of the sky, its thunder, the supreme sound, Omkar, and the arrangement of different words to distinguish one thing from the other are but symbolic representations of yourself. Everything is yourself. The senses, the controller of the senses, the demigods, and the acquisition of knowledge, which is the purpose of the senses, as well as the subject matter of knowledge, all are yourself. The resolution of intelligence and the sharp memory of the living entity are also yourself. You are the egotistic principle in ignorance, which is the cause of this material world. You are the egotistic principle of passion, which is the cause of the senses. And you are also the egotistic principle of goodness, which is the origin of the different controlling deities of this material world. The illusory energy, or Maya, which is the cause of the conditioned soul's perpetual transmigration from one form to another, is only yourself. My dear Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are the original cause of all causes, exactly as the earth is the original cause of different kinds of trees, plants, and similar varieties of manifestation. As the earth is represented in everything, so you are present throughout this material manifestation as the super soul. You are the supreme cause of all causes, the eternal principle. Everything is, in fact, a manifestation of your one energy. The three qualities of material nature, sattva, rajas, tamas, and the result of their interaction are linked up with you by your agency of yoga maya. They are supposed to be independent, but actually the total material energy is resting upon you, the super soul. And since you are the supreme cause of everything, the interactions of material manifestation, namely birth, existence, growth, transformation, deterioration, and annihilation, are all absent in yourself. Your supreme energy, Yoga Maya, is acting in variegated manifestations. But because Yoga Maya is your energy, you are therefore present in everything. In Bhagavad Gita, this fact is very nicely explained in the 9th chapter, wherein Lord Krishna says, "In my impersonal form, I am spread all over the material energy. Everything is resting in me, but I am not there." So this very statement is also given by Vasudeva. To say Krishna is not present everywhere means that Krishna is aloof from everything, although Krishna's energy is acting everywhere. This can be understood by a crude example. In a big establishment, the energy or the organization of the supreme boss is working in every nook and corner of the business. But that does not mean that the original proprietor is present there. Although, in every department and every atmosphere, the presence of the proprietor is felt by the worker. The physical presence of the proprietor in every department is but a formality only, for actually his energy is working everywhere. Similarly, the omnipresence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is felt in the action of his energies. Therefore, the philosophy of inconceivable, simultaneous oneness with and difference from the Supreme Lord is confirmed everywhere. Lord Krishna is one, but his energies are diverse. Vasudeva then said, "This material world is like a great flowing river, and its waves are the three material modes of nature, goodness, passion, ignorance. This material body, as well as its senses, the faculties of thinking, feeling, and willing, the stages of distress, happiness, attachment, and lust, are all different products of these three qualities of nature. But the foolish person, who cannot realize your transcendental identity above all this material reaction, continues to remain in the entanglement of fruitive activity and is thus subjected to the continuous process of birth and death without any chance of being freed." This is also confirmed in a different way by Lord Krishna in the 4th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. There it is said that anyone who knows the appearance and activities of the Supreme Lord Krishna becomes freed from the clutches of the material nature and goes back home, back to Godhead. Therefore, Krishna's transcendental name, form, activities, and qualities are not products of this material nature. Vasudeva continued to pray, "Oh, my dear Krishna and Balaram, despite all these defects of the conditioned soul, if someone, somehow or other, comes into contact with devotional service, then he or she achieves this civilized human form of body with developed consciousness, and thereby becomes capable of executing further progress in devotional service. And yet, illusioned by the external energy, people generally do not utilize this advantage of the human form of life, and thus they miss the chance of eternal freedom and unnecessarily spoil the progress they have made after thousands of births. In the bodily concept of life, one is attached to the offspring of the body due to false egotism. And everyone in conditioned life is entrapped by false relationships and false affections. The whole world is moving under this false impression of material bondage. I know that neither of you are my sons. You are the original chief and progenitor, the personalities of Godhead, known as Pradhan and Purusha. But you have appeared on the surface of this globe in order to minimize the burden of this world by killing the Kshatriya kings who are unnecessarily increasing their military strength. You have already informed me about this in the past. My dear Krishna and Balaram, you are the shelter of the surrendered soul. You are the supreme well-wisher of the meek and humble. I am therefore taking shelter of your lotus feet, which alone can give one liberation from the entanglement of material existence. For a long time, I have simply considered this body to be myself. And although you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I still consider you to be my son. My dear Lord Krishna, at the very moment when you first appeared in the prison house of Kamsa, I was informed that you were the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that you had descended for the protection of the principles of religion, as well as the destruction of the unfaithful. Although you are unborn, you still descend in every millennium to execute your mission. And so, my dear Lord Krishna, as in the sky there are many forms appearing and disappearing, so you also appear and disappear in many eternal forms. So who, therefore, can understand your pastimes or the mysteries of your appearance and disappearance? Our only business should be to glorify your supreme greatness. Thus ends Chapter 85, Scene 1, Vasudeva Confesses to Krishna and Balaram. All glories to Krishna Book, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Namaste Narasinghaya Prahlada Klada Dayane Hiranyakashipur Vakshaha Shlatankana Kalaye Ito Nursinga Padato Nursingho Yato Yato Yami Tato Nursingha Mahi Nursingho Hridaye Nursingho Nursingham Adim Sharanam Prapadye Nisringham Adim Sharanam Prapadye Nisringham Adim Sharanam Prapadye.
I offer my obeisances to Lord Narasimha, who gives joy to Prahlad Maharaj, and whose nails are like chisels on the stone-like chest of the demon Hiranyakashipu. Lord Narasimha is here, and he is also there. Wherever I go, I see Lord Narasimha is there. He is in my heart, and he is outside as well. I surrender to Lord Nrsimha, who is the origin of all things and who is the supreme refuge. The following are notes on this section by the previous acharyas before the appearance of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. When creating the material universe, Krishna expands himself as Paramatma or Supersoul and accepts the creation as his universal body. No material body has any reason for existing without some jiva soul desiring that body for one's enjoyment. And no jiva can independently maintain a body without the Paramatma accompanying it for guidance. The Vaishnava Acharyas, in their commentaries on the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, explain that even before Brahma is born from the lotus navel of Garbhodakashayi Vishnu, Lord Brahma first accepts the whole material energy, the Mahat Tattva, as his body. Thus, Lord Brahma is the jiva embodied by the universe, and Vishnu is the Paramatma who joins him. Lord Brahma must organize the specific manifestations of creation, but Lord Brahma cannot begin to do so until Lord Vishnu expands himself once again into the subtle energy of action, which is known as the Sutra Tattva, or original vital air, and then also enter into the creative energy of consciousness known as Buddhi Tattva. Srila Vishvanath Chakravarti points out that whenever one of the material senses is involved with its object, the presiding demigod of that particular sense organ must give sanction. He also explains the word anusmriti in its higher sense, meaning one's recognition of oneself as an eternal spirit soul. According to Vishvanath Chakravarti, Vasudev offers himself and his wife Devaki as excellent examples of those who are materially deluded. Although at the time of Krishna's birth in Kamsa's prison, Krishna told Vasudev and Devaki that his mission was to rid the earth of the unwanted Kshatriyas, still, Krishna's two parents could not avoid thinking of Krishna as their helpless son who needed protection from King Kamsa. In reality, of course, both Vasudev and Devaki were participating in the divine pastimes of Lord Krishna's birth under the perfect direction of his internal energy. Therefore, it was only out of transcendental humility that Vasudev criticized himself in this way. And finally, Srila Jiva Goswami suggests that Vasudev condemned himself for thinking of trying to gain special opulences because he was the father of the Supreme Lord. Vasudev thus contrasts himself with Nanda Maharaj, the king of Braja, who was satisfied with pure love of God and nothing else.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.